have any stories or personal anecdotes from your teaching experience?
I think I could have written a book about the sayings that come from little children. I especially have enjoyed first graders and some of the things that they would come up with. I had a little boy in first grade reading one time, chapter one reading. I was a little peeved with him that day because he had not done what I told him to that night. And I said, "Johnny, I'm going to call your mother tonight." He said, "Well, you can call her, but she won't answer." And I said, "Well, why won't she answer?" He said, "'Cause we ain't got a telephone." And, you know, I was so amused by that. I went to the principal's office. It was my break following that. And I was telling him, and he lied for 10 minutes about it. And there were so many little things like that that first graders, if parents knew some of the things that first graders especially told at school. And I remember one summer, I was teaching in the summer Head Start program. They had a summer Head Start program before they started a year-round program. I had this little boy who was, he'd always had his way. He was going to have his way regardless. And I was trying to teach him to line up to go to the lunchroom for a snack. And he said, "I'm not going to line up." And I said, "Yes, Michael, you're going to line up like everybody else." "No, I'm not either." And I just proceeded to pick him up and stand him in line. Now, this was under a federal program where we were not allowed to use any corporal punishment of any kind. And I put him in line, and he reached down, and he bit my hand. I mean, it bit enough to bring the blood. And you can imagine how hard it was to hold my self-control there for a minute. Things like that happen, good things and bad things. And another thing that I thought of back when I used to tell the children about, they would bring a dollar to school. You know, most of my children always had to have a dollar to carry to school. And they couldn't seem to make out on that. And I would tell them about the experience that I had when I was in high school, and they would, you know, just disbelieve. They couldn't believe it, like they thought I was lying or something. When I first began middle school, seventh grade, there was no lunchroom program at all. You either carried your lunch or they would let us go uptown to have lunch. And I know my mother didn't see that I got a very nutritious lunch. I was supposed to be getting a sandwich every day, and I would go have a banana split every day for my lunch. And she never knew that I wasn't having a sandwich. We all were out from 12 to 1, and we would be back. No one was ever late. And I have thought so many times what would happen today if you let that many children out in a small town like Center. You know, you wouldn't see high five back. They might get back in time to go home. And I told them about when they were fussing about not having enough lunch money and all that, told them about what I spent when I was in school. I got 25 cents a day. That was my allowance. Lunches, the first lunchroom, I was in the ninth grade, and the first lunchroom, I got 25 cents, 15 was for lunch, and had 10 cents, Cokes were 5 cents, and, you know, bag of potato chips to go with it. And, the kids would look at me just so amazed, like they thought, I don't know if they ever really believed me or not. But I can remember some other comical things that happened when I was in school, when I was in high school. It was right after the war, and Hershey bars were very, very scarce. All the Hershey bars and Milky Ways, the good candies, were being carried to the soldiers. They were getting all the good candy. And in the school store, we'd get some maybe once every 2 weeks. And there was a certain little clique of girls that would come down the hall, and every time they'd see some boys in a gang or anyone, oh, I want to buy it if they had a Hershey bar. And some boys made it up one day. They brought an X-Lax and wrapped it in a Hershey bar paper. Those girls didn't come to school the next day. And to me, that was very amusing. And I can also remember one time, it was, you know, they always had a skip day, even back then. And my dad would have honestly killed me had he known that I skipped school that day. I know there were four of us together. We had a picnic, and we went out on the water, Terrapin Creek. And I was so frightened every time I moved. I just knew my dad was there, you know, he's seeing what I was doing. So basically, I suppose kids have not changed a whole lot from now to what they were then, other than the fact that all these drugs have come on the scene. That's been the thing that's really made the change. But other than that, I can look back and see a lot of the things that I did that children are doing now. My understanding was that drugs were first brought back from Vietnam at the end of the Vietnam War. That's how they got here. And they have probably hurt the students more than any other one thing. Just last year, I did some substitute work at Sandrock. And I was told the week before that a boy was high on pot. In other words, he didn't realize what he was doing. And he threw a basketball through a window the day before and broken the window out. And that was all the talk, you know, something like that going on. And things like that you didn't have to cope with years ago. And I don't know if there ever will be a solution to that. It's
the drinking is more prominent than the drugs, but the drugs are starting to catch up with it.
Right, the drugs, I think, are beginning to catch it. Now, when I was in school, something might be said on Monday about, did you know so-and-so had a drink of beer, had a can of beer, you know, on Friday night, or had one too many or something like that. When I first began teaching, I'm serious, gum chewing was one of the worst problems we had to face. And far be it now from that.
Well, when you were growing up, did most of the children have jobs, the kids that were sent in high school? What kind of jobs did they have at that time?
Most of them had to work at home. You know, had to do farm work. And my dad paid me for everything I did on the farm. And I know we raised some turkeys. And I had some turkeys that I sold, and I got the money out of them. And I remember this, Miss Laura C. Blair, this teacher I dearly loved, she was coming out to my house and get a turkey. And things then were, the price was a lot lower than it is today, and I know I sold her that turkey for $5. Of course, that was a live turkey, not dressed. And I felt so important for that. And I remember one time I had a little calf that I had raised, and my dad let me have the money for it. I mean, I usually used it, school materials and things like that. But the main reason that we didn't have jobs in Center and Piedmont were the two nearest towns, and the main reason we didn't have jobs there was no transportation, you know, didn't have. My dad was, I guess you'd say, a male chauvinist. He just didn't feel that women had a need to drive or to do anything like that. Men were supposed to be the ones to do that. And I know my mother never even learned to drive a car all her life. And when my dad died, she didn't live but 6 more months, and I think it's because she just never had learned to fend for herself. And that was why I didn't get to go back and participate in so many of the activities that the city girls did. And probably I had an inferiority complex because of that. Of course, I was a member of the Beta Club. Other than that, and valedictorian, I didn't have any way of, you know, doing so many of the things that the other girls did. I always wanted to be a cheerleader, but I knew it was senseless to ask Dad to carry me back to practice cheerleading. So all the cheerleaders were the ones who lived in the town center. And that made me resolve when I grew up and had my children that I was going to live in the city limits where my children could take part in things. But there, one thing that I might mention is that I feel is coming about and should have already come about is alternative schools for children that just cannot be coped with in any other way. I feel like there will be some alternative schools for children like that in the future. And I know we had one of those at San Rock. He was in special ed, and he stayed at Mountain View for a month. Frankly, after meeting his mother, it wasn't very difficult to know why he had the problem he had. But he moved to Atlanta, Georgia, and everyone said he'd probably be killed on the streets of Atlanta, Georgia, with all the gangs and everything. Last I heard, he was back at San Rock and had been out of school suspension for 30 days. And until we have alternative schools for a situation like that, there's really not an answer to it. But as I have previously stated, I feel that so much of that comes from the crack, being the crack generation. But